Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. Thank you very much for staying with us this morning. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Rick Maurer is our guest, and Rick is an organizational change agent. He works with companies to help them understand what's going on in their organizations and how they can fix it. He's the author of a number of books that have become a couple of my favorites. One of them is Beyond the Wall of Resistance, and then this new one called Why Don't You Want What I Want? Rick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Good to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And, you know, Rick, I just keep asking this question over and over again. I found that's the reason when I saw your book, it struck such a chord with me. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm such a smart guy. I'm like almost a genius. You know what I mean? I'm virtually perfect. You know, I mean, notwithstanding what my wife says and my children, I'm virtually perfect. And so why wouldn't whatever I want be what everybody would want?
I know. It seems unfair, doesn't it, Jim?
Well, it is unfair. It's horribly unfair. And I keep thinking, you know, one of these days they're going to get it. They're going to understand that, you know, that whatever I do and whatever I say should be followed.
I know. But until that day comes, we need to come up with
one
different
strategy. One can only
hope,
I guess. So what do I do about myself in the meantime?
Well, first of all, I think what you're describing, and I love the way you're exaggerating it. I hope you're exaggerating.
What?
No, I'm sorry. that what you're describing is something I think that happens to all of us, that we get an idea in our head, and as it rumbles around in there, it picks, you know, it starts to, you know, pick up steam, and we start to go, hey, this is a pretty good idea. Mm-hmm. And by the time we talk to somebody else about it, whether it's our spouse or somebody at work, it's a full-blown idea, and we're ready to rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And we've
gone from alpha to omega in about 90 seconds, haven't we?
You bet. And the problem is, we then make this assumption that people are just sitting around waiting for us to come up with a great idea, as if they didn't have plans of their own,
mm-hmm.
as if they didn't want to go, to the beach as opposed to skiing, or they didn't want to go in this direction in the business versus that direction, and so when they say, you know, I don't know, Jim, suddenly we get bent out of shape. And when we get bent out of shape, often what happens is what I would call a knee-jerk reaction, mm-hmm. and that we say something or do something that actually creates resistance.
Hmm.
So it's not their resistance quite often. It's what we do when they say, hey, I don't like the idea. It's what we do that gets us in trouble.
And it's probably launched, that knee-jerk reaction is probably launched by the reaction to them not doing what we anticipated that they would do.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, how many times have you, I don't know about you, but when you wrote your first book and you showed it around to your friends, did all of them just fawn over you and talk about what a wonderful book it was, and they were so proud of you they couldn't believe that you actually had written this thing? Did they do that?
Some of my friends, they certainly said, boy, we can't believe you wrote a book.
Yeah. That'll cause a knee-jerk there, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, people were happy for me, but...
But did you get the reaction you thought you were going to get from all of them?
A lot of people.
That was the interesting thing on my... it's one of those things you throw it out there and you think, you know, this is wonderful, and
yeah.
Everybody's going to think this is the, you know, they're going to put me on a pedestal or whatever,
right.
and you walk around with your chest out, and, you know, all of a sudden you realize nobody's saying anything.
Well, I know. I mean, and that'll happen sometimes. I'll write an article, or I'll come up with a new presentation or something, and I think
it's genius.
It's genius, and not only that, my client is going to love it, and they just look at there like, you know, like they're looking at Mount Rushmore.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, so.
And so how do we avoid, what do we do? Do we just not set ourselves up for that kind of a fall, or what do we do?
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things we can do is be willing to stay engaged with the other person no matter what their reaction is. So, let's
say... So in other words, maybe they don't understand, we have to explain it to them again?
Well, it could be that, but it could be, let's say, Jim, I had sent you, why don't you want what I want?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say... you weren't wild about it. I might be able to learn something from you if I was willing to listen.
Yeah.
The danger and the knee-jerk reaction is I go, oh, well, gee, I thought Jim was bright, but apparently I was wrong. You know, and but if I'm willing to listen, there often is something in there that, that can help me. I'll give you an example. I was doing some work with a client recently, and this training that I do based on change, generally people say, boy, this is really helpful, blah, blah, blah. And I had this couple days where it just was like pulling teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first I thought, you know, how did I get stuck with this bad group? But then I started, you know, actually listening to what they were saying, and their comments were absolutely valid, which has gotten me to rethink the way I present things to this particular type of organization.
So and they so were hurting your feelings at the beginning, but because you stayed engaged, you didn't react in a knee-jerk way and assume that they were obviously peasants,
exactly.
You know, pedestrians. That you actually learned from their attitude, didn't you?
I did, but the truth of the matter is, I mean, at first I did treat them like peasants. I mean, I didn't do it to their face, but I
yeah.
started to dismiss them.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, it's like a comedian saying they're not laughing. It must be a bad audience.
Right.
You know, but, so it took me a little while, a few hours, you know, to kind of get over that and say, wait a minute, what is there a message here? And once then I could say that to myself, then I could stay engaged. And I heard stuff that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And also found out that the criticisms that I thought were bigger than they were really weren't all that big. So I was making stuff up.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, and another thing you have to do is you have to, you've heard the term consider the source.
Yeah.
You also have to realize that there are different sources out there for this information, don't you?
Yes.
Because some people, if you've got a great idea and you offer it to somebody who isn't capable of understanding a great idea, you know, it's not that, I'm not saying that the main thing I'm saying is that it might actually be lost on that person.
You need
to make sure that you don't cast your pearls before people who really would not be capable of getting it.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And that happens all the time. And I think the tricky thing for us as individuals is being able to distinguish, is this the wrong audience? Is this a bad fit? Or is it I'm just not open to listen to what they have to say?
Right. Rick, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want you to talk to us about how to make this happen, how to avoid, I should say, the knee jerks when an employee brings us a great idea.
Great.
Let's turn it around on the other side of the mirror and see how it looks from that standpoint. 20 after. We'll be right back with our good friend Rick Maurer, and his book is called Why Don't You Want What I Want? Back is 23 after the hour.
Down on the river, you stop and you hold everything.
800-531-3815. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. You can find out about my book there, too. And don't forget, when you buy it from me, wherever you buy my book, I like it. But if you buy it from me, from my website, I really like that. And Rick Maurer is our guest. Maurer is spelled M-A-U-R-E-R, Maurer, Rick. And his book is called Why Don't You Want What I Want? Or the other one is called Beyond the Wall of Resistance. What have you written, about five or six books now, Rick?
Yeah, I think Why Don't You Want was my fifth book.
The fifth one, all right. So congratulations on that one. I know it's doing well. Tell us where it's available, please.
Well, it's not so available in bookstores, but by all means, check your local bookstore.
Well, they'll order it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And if not, you can get it from one of the online booksellers or from our website.
Go to BeyondResistance.com?
Yeah, and we have an agreement with Amazon, and it'll shoot you right over there.
Shoot you right over, and you get the nice discount there and everything. So check that out when you get a chance, folks, at BeyondResistance.com. They can find it. And you've got a newsletter as well, don't you?
I do, yeah. It's called Tools for a Change, and it's on the website. It's free, and it basically deals with the kind of stuff we're talking about today.
Really nice website, folks. It's worth the trip. Check it out when you get a chance, BeyondResistance.com. Okay, we're talking about how to avoid knee-jerk reactions when the people we cast our pop beads before, Rick, don't react like we want. Sometimes our employees come up with an idea. You know, you hear me talking about, my audience has heard me earlier this week talking about encouraging creativity, encouraging entrepreneurial thinking, encourage people to take risks and to take initiative. And when we do that, and then they go out and they say, hey, I believe I'm onto something here. I bet the boss is going to love this.
Yeah.
And they think about it, and they put it together, and they spend a little time on it, and they want to give you, they want a few minutes of your time, and then basically you just sort of rain on their parade.
Yep.
That's a bad scene, isn't it?
Well, it's a bad scene in a couple of ways. One is you miss good ideas, but you also send a message to everyone. You know, so you got 5 people working there, you got 10, you got 100. When you blow somebody out of the water,
yeah,
everybody takes their rule book out of their hip pocket and say, never give the boss an idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't need that kind of embarrassment, and I don't need that kind of pain again.
Exactly.
It's like once you touch an electric fence to keep livestock in, you know, you know not to go back and touch that again, don't you?
That's exactly right. And I remember it's a Mark Twain quote about a cat on a hot stove, and he said it'll learn the lesson, but he said the problem is it'll never jump on any stove.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And you know, and so what will happen is if the person gets blown out of the water, and let's say it is a dumb idea, but the way you treat them is like, boy, you're an idiot for coming up with this.
Mm-hmm.
They won't even come to you with the good ideas, will most other people, because they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to get the same treatment that Joe just got.
And therefore, all the great ideas in your company can only come out of your head. And let me tell you something, folks, regardless of my delirium tremens earlier in the show, if all the good ideas are coming out of your head, you got trouble.
You bet. And by the way, I don't want your listeners to think that I'm suggesting you accept every idea that comes. But it's how you treat the person who gives the idea. Do you give them the time of day? Do you have a second for a quick story?
Sure.
The guy named Ralph Strayer, who headed a company called Johnsonville Foods, they made sausage. His secretary came into him and said, you know, Ralph, I've been looking at our financial statements, and we're limited in where we can make sales. This is before the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, we advertise here in Wisconsin, and we go as far as the trucks can go in a day. She said, if we set up catalog sales, we could have a new profit center. And she laid out the numbers. This is his secretary.
Mm.
I know very few executives that would be listening to their secretary like that. Not only did
that
he say...
That wasn't her assignment. That wasn't her job, was it?
No, not at all. And not only did he say, I think that's a good idea, he said, would you like to run it?
Hmm.
And it became a significant profit center for that company.
Right.
And it came about because he was willing to listen and go, maybe she's got a point here.
Well, especially he was willing to listen from an unlikely source
for
that information.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, because, I mean, what if you're running a big distribution company and your truck driver comes up and says, sir, I've been looking at this, and I think if we turn everything on its upside down, the operation would work better. Well, you know, you're more than likely going to say, you know, I don't think that's your assignment. Go drive the truck.
Yeah,
but you got to be careful about this, folks. And that's the other thing is if you're going to, you know, and this also has to do with people is when a mistake happens too, Rick. If somebody makes a mistake trying to take initiative, we've got to realize the way we need to respond to that is not in a knee-jerk way and say you're fired or some kind of chastisement or whatever. We need to say if we realize that they did it doing it for the right reasons and taking initiative, we need to learn how to say, what did we learn?
Exactly. And obviously if the person is making the same mistake over and over again, that's a different matter.
That's altogether different. That's a management issue. That's not what we're talking about. Rick, the book is called Why Don't You Want What I Want? How to Win Support for Your Ideas Without Hard Sell Manipulation or Power Play. His website is beyondresistance.com. Rick, thank you for being here today. Good job again.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure, Jim.
Hope you'll come back again, Rick.
Oh, anytime.
Rick Maurer, ladies and gentlemen. M-A-U-R-E-R. R-I-C-K-M-A-R-U-R-E-R. He'll be back another day.
I'll
take a quick break. It's 29 after. I'll be right back with Gene Kreisman, and President Lincoln will be with us in the next half hour. That's right. President Abraham Lincoln. Today's his birthday. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Then I'll roll away again. Yeah.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.